superchargers, headlights, and more. With over 122 million parts, eBay Motors has everything you need to maintain your vehicle and level it up to peak performance. And with eBay Guaranteed Fit, your part is guaranteed to fit your ride every time or your money back. Stay on your A-game with all the parts you need at the prices you want. It's easy to bring home huge wins. Keep your ride or die alive at ebaymotors.com. Eligible items only. Exclusions apply. See ebaymotors.com.
Thank you for listening to this Podcast One production. Now available on Apple Podcasts, Podcast One, Spotify, and anywhere else you get your podcasts.
For the onside kick, Zuerlein dribbles it to the left, hadn't gone 10 yards.
This is the Rich Eisen Show.
Atlanta just let it roll, and it went 10, and the Cowboys have the football.
Live from the Rich Eisen Show studio in Los Angeles.
Touchdown, Kyler Murray, a 22-yard run.
Earlier on the show, two-time Super Bowl champion Eli Manning. Still to come, Arizona Cardinals general manager Steve Keim. Pro Football Hall of Famer Michael Irvin, plus from NBC Sports, Mike Tirico, and now it's Rich Eisen.
Okay, hour number two of this show is on the air. Rich Eisen Show on our quadcast, NBCSN on linear cable. Peacock is our streamer, and we also are on Sirius XM Radio Channel 211. On Peacock and on Sirius XM Radio Channel 211, we follow the Dan Patrick Show every single day, and we're also on terrestrial radio, primarily here in Southern California on the Mightier 1090. We are thrilled that you are here. 844-204-RICH is the number to dial on the show. A conversation that's being had quite a bit this morning and this afternoon, depending on where you're taking in this program in the NFL, is the lack of preseason and what it might mean because of the rash of injuries that we're seeing. My colleague at the NFL media group, Ian Rappaport, during the commercial break, tweeting out, according to his source, Cortland Sutton, the stellar wide receiver for the Denver Broncos, appears he tore his ACL in Pittsburgh yesterday.
Ugh.
The Giants confirmed at the very top of our program at noon Eastern time that Saquon Barkley did, in fact, tear his ACL in Chicago. None of them played on the turf in MetLife yesterday, where the San Francisco 49ers lost Nick Bosa to what they fear is an ACL, and the same thing with Solomon Thomas and Jimmy Garoppolo, wondering what's going on with him. Mostert also suffered a knee injury. All of them, we don't know what's going on with them. And the Niners have to go back to MetLife and play the Giants next week. They're moving to West Virginia at the Greenbrier, where they're going to hunker down in COVID-19 land in this world that we're living in for a week before going back there. So there's that conversation as well. And then Doug Peterson, whose Eagles are 0-2, saying moments ago, according to Zach Berman, who covers the Eagles for The Athletic, quote, "I don't care who you are throwing to, 2.5 weeks to prepare for your first real game is not enough time." I mean, I would proffer to say there's lots of new moving parts in a lot of other places. The Arizona Cardinals, as we know, had one big new part in DeAndre Hopkins, who has been paid there. And they are now 2-0, and the general manager who's put this stellar team together in Arizona is back here on the Rich Eisen Show. Steve Keim, how are you, Steve?
Rich, I'm doing fantastic.
Damn straight.
Congrats on the move to NBC. That's awesome.
Thanks, pal. Really appreciate that. I'd like to give you your two cents on the subject of no preseason and whether you think that we can draw a line between that and some rash of injuries or for some teams struggling to start the season while other teams like yours clearly aren't. What do you think, Steve?
Well, that's a great question. In our case, I think, you know, there are some parallels with execution and penalties. In fact, unfortunately, we lead the National Football League in penalties, which is a little concerning, but something I know we can clean up. I know Cliff is certainly motivated to do that, and we know that they're fixable things. But the injury part of it, you know, to me, if you're going to put your finger on an injury because of the preseason, I would have thought they would have been more soft tissue injuries. Not things that are either ligament damage or structural. And it sounds like just from the reports, it sounds like, you know, the amount of ACLs that were incurred yesterday is probably at an all-time high.
And when you hear what your colleagues in San Francisco are saying right now about the turf and MetLife, and you know you're going there in week 5 to take on the Jets and then in week 14 against the Giants, what do? As a general manager of the Arizona Cardinals, Steve?
Well, it is. It's concerning, and I think the one thing that we need to do is certainly make sure that we're wearing the appropriate footwear. I mean, sometimes the length of the spikes, may have something to do with it. But we just need to make sure that we're taking the proper precautions and that we have enough education heading into that stadium. We played there last year, and we didn't have any issues.
Okay. Yeah, because they replaced the turf there, and, you know, the Steelers apparently didn't say much about it, nor did the Giants, but... Man, that was something watching that yesterday. But I'm just trying to get in the mind of a general manager of a team that's 2-0 right now. And what do you think when you're sitting here in week 3 getting ready for Detroit to come into your house, a team that you know played you to a draw in week 1 last year in that very building?
Well, I mean, it's a week-to-week league, and just watching Detroit the first two games of their season, I think they gave up leads in both games, and obviously when you're playing a team that has Matthew Stafford as the quarterback, they have some talent as well, and any given Sunday you can lose. So we have to clean up our mistakes, we have to minimize penalties, and we have to get back to play mistake-free football for us to have success moving forward.
Steve Keim here on the Rich Eisen Show. When was the first time you realized DeAndre Hopkins could be had for you to take in a trade? When was the first time that happened?
Well, it was a conversation between Bill O'Brien and myself, and I've known Bill back to the early 2000s when he was an assistant coach at Georgia Tech. So we had a good relationship, and just through usual dialogue that you have with general managers and head coaches, we just sort of brushed upon the subject and the fact that I felt like he was available, and David Johnson was a guy that certainly Bill coveted. It all worked out for both of us, and we're certainly happy to have Hop.
Was that last year when that first happened, trade deadline?
Yes, that was last right before free agency of last year.
Okay. All right. And then did you hang up the phone and you thought, oh, my God, this could actually happen?
Well, it was unusual times because it was right at the start of COVID. It was hard for us to get the players' physicals, and as you know, no trade can be made until they were all, I should say, made pending players' physicals. So I got a little antsy and a little nervous when we couldn't get the physicals right away. But it all worked out. We were able to extend Hop as well a few weeks ago, and really glad we did to make sure we have him under contract for the next 5 years, especially with the way he started. I mean, I think he set an NFL record with 22 receptions for a guy that's playing for a team for the first time.
Yeah, I know. So there you have it. I mean, some guys, is it just like some guys you don't need preseason to fit in? I mean, is that again, I guess to come full circle here, because there's going to be so much conversation based on the fact that there is no preseason. You're already hearing, I don't know if you heard, if you were on hold, Doug Peterson in Philadelphia saying 2.5 weeks is not enough time. And yeah. So you don't seem to be having that problem.
Well, again, I think the fact that we're in year two of Cliff Kingsbury's offense, and then there's always a number of guys that are just tremendous athletes, whether it's Kyler Murray, Larry Fitzgerald, Patrick Peterson, DeAndre Hopkins is certainly one of them, that you just roll the ball out there and they're generally better than any other people on the field. So that certainly helps. But, Hop is a guy that came in. He already, instantly brought a tremendous amount of swag into our locker room and confidence. He plays physical. He's a great route runner. And him and Kyler were able to throw this summer. So they built some sort of a relationship as well. So I think the comfort level was there from the beginning.
All right, Steve, you and I have known each other for quite some time. So, I'm going to give you this opportunity. I don't know if you're going to take it. Okay, this is my setup. I don't know if you're going to take it. But to those in the football world who talk about stuff for a living and analyze things and opinionate for a living, what would you say to those people who maybe, say, had you on their show right after the draft that you traded Josh Rosen to Miami and right after you hired a coach who had never been a head coach before and went ahead and sent away Josh Rosen after drafting Kyler Murray first overall, and people wondering whether you knew what the hell you were doing? What do you say to those people? And I'm kind of raising my hand right now, Steve. What do you, I don't know if you're a football spiker professionally, but what do you say to those people, Steve Keim, right now?
I think it's a fair question. I mean, I think that you know, the media has to do their job as well, and I certainly respect that. You know, we were coming off a stretch of a couple years of football that that I'm not very proud of. You know, prior to that, we won over 50 games in 5 years when we hired Bruce Arians as our head coach and I took over as the general manager. But, you know, you can't live on the past. And as Bruce always told me, who's a dear friend of mine, the elevator ride from the outhouse or the penthouse to the outhouse is a quick one. And it certainly was for a moment there. But, you know, I think in this business, Rich, you have to put on blinders and you have to believe in what you see and you have to trust your instincts. And in those situations, moving on from Josh, which was tough, and drafting Kyler and hiring Cliff Kingsbury was something that I felt strongly about. And hopefully we can continue to reap the benefits.
And, you know, I guess instead of spiking the football, you kind of just handed the ball back to the ref right there, knowing that there's more downs to be played, I guess, Steve. When in this business also, we use phrases for guys who are particularly tough, a problem. And Kyler appears to be a problem for defenses in a manner that few quarterbacks can. Is this what you envision when you drafted him first overall, what we're seeing right now, Steve?
Yeah, because, you know, and again, to be honest with the process, I really did not want to like Kyler as a player because we had just drafted Josh the previous season, and I liked Josh Rosen. I thought he had a lot of upside.
Right.
But going into that pick, which when you have the first pick in the NFL draft, again, to me, you had to be honest with the process. And what I saw on tape at Oklahoma was a guy who ran the football and threw the football like nobody I've ever seen. And when I say that, I've seen guys who can run like him. I've seen guys who can throw like him, but I've never seen the dual threat that he can pose. And his ability to create with his feet is exceptional. We all know that. But his ability to throw from the pocket with accuracy and touch is also something I think is exceptional.
He's amazing, man. I got to tell you, he is amazing. And what he's been able to do in 2 weeks is nothing short of amazing. He's must-see television. He's so much damn fun to watch. And I have him in fantasy. What's it like to have him in real, Steve?
I mean, you know, it really is. You know, I think one of my kids said this. It's like watching a video game. I mean, he really is. It's, you know, he eats up angles with his foot speed. He drops back. He throws lasers all over the field. He's competitive as hell. And he's just scratching the surface too, Rich. It's amazing because he just continues to get better and better. And as he learns to continue to use his progression, read defenses better, and get more acclimated to the NFL game, I just think the sky's the limit for him.
Well, after the season was over last year, and this is before you got that you connected with Bill O'Brien about DeAndre Hopkins, I said that Kyler was going to come in and be an MVP candidate, top three in votes in 2020. I, you know, the Offensive Rookie of the Year award was well deserved, and we're seeing right now. And then this is when I realized I knew that this was going to happen. And it's not the DeAndre Hopkins trade; it was the way your coach drafted. It was the way your coach drafted his draft setup. Was like a James Bond lair, or like a cologne ad. I mean, we're showing it right here on the screen, Steve. This is next level stuff, man. This is next level stuff. You know?
Yeah.
What did you think?
I mean, I just felt at that point we didn't even have to make a pick at that. I just felt like we won the draft at that second.
It was a lock right there. I mean, it was an absolute lock. And I imagine, is there any part of that screen that resembles your draft setup from that?
Yeah, no.
Nothing.
But the coolest thing about my draft setup is,
yes,
and you've known this for years, is you are the backdrop of my draft board.
That's right.
Still, that is the truth.
Is that still me running my 40?
That will remain that way, Rich, as long as I'm general manager.
Well, then I'm particularly happy about your 2-0 start, not just because I know you personally, and that's great. Phenomenal. So there's nothing at all, like no, you didn't draft in loafers, no socks, and there's no fire pit?
There's no fire pit?
No. No, you know the funny thing about that picture is it would set up, as you say, for a cologne ad or whatever it may be.
Yes.
People don't realize, I mean, it makes Cliff Kingsbury look like the ultimate playboy, when in reality, he's almost like a grandpa. I mean, this guy gets in here at 3:30 in the morning. He goes home late at night. I don't know when he sleeps. And he is an absolute grinder. So I don't know when he gets to use that house. I certainly hope he does. But I haven't seen it.
Well, I told him when he came on about his draft setup that the, you know, you're hearing the hashtag in Seattle of let Russ cook, and you've got your hands full, obviously, in your division. Your hashtag for Arizona should be the fire pit's lit. That's it.
Love
2020
that.
Cardinals, hashtag fire pit's lit.
I love it.
That's it, man. I'm just trying to just set it all up for you, Steve, you know?
We appreciate it, Rich.
You got it, brother. Thanks for the call.
Thanks so much, Rich. Take care.
We'll chat soon. That's Steve Kahn, general manager of the Arizona Cardinals. Oh, yeah, put it up, Tom. We haven't shown this one in a while. Lego recreated it.
I mean,
to get the Lego head with a 5 o'clock shadow with a little beard, little stud beard.
Pretty good.
There you go. When your draft setup is so good that Lego recreates it, that's next level. Fire pits lit, man. When Kyler Murray runs right at you and you're a defender, you know what the defender's got to be thinking? Oh, crap.
Yeah.
Because he's about to go. You know, they have these drills at the combine where guys run at the bag, the running backs, and then they take the tackling bag. And they move it right, move it left, and the guy's got to cut and go the other direction. The bag is the human being that Kyler's running at. And he can just turn and go lateral. You know, it's interesting. He runs like Greg Zuerlein's onside kick, where the ball, he spins, and you're just caught staring at him, and then he'll just zip up. And then he'll find DeAndre Hopkins or Larry Fitzgerald, and then that Andy Isabella guy, who, if I'm not mistaken, they drafted with the pick that they got from Miami for Rosen. I think that's what they did. And that kid, he's going deep. You're like wondering where Hopkins is, and you're wondering where Larry is, and then this kid just goes straight up. Oh my gosh. I'm very high on the Arizona Cardinals, as you know. We'll unveil our poll question, and Michael Irvin will join us. And then we've got phone lines totally lit. We will empty the phone banks before Mike Tirico joins us in our post-Week 2 Monday edition of the Rich Eisen Show. Shop local with Visa to help support your community, because where you shop matters. Visa, everywhere you want to be.
Sports keep coming back. So does your chance to bet on them with our exclusive wagering partner, BetOnline. Major League Baseball is now in full swing, and the NBA has also begun. There's no shortage of ways to get in on the action. BetOnline has all the odds, futures, and props for you to bet on. Visit BetOnline today to check out all the odds and up-to-date sports news. Don't forget to sign up and take advantage of all the Welcome Back to Sports bonuses. BetOnline, your online wagering experts. Visit our good friends and exclusive partner at Podcast One. Bet online to take advantage of the best bonuses in the business. Sign up for a free account and make sure to use that promo code PODCAST1 for your sign-up bonus. Visit betonline.ag and don't forget that promo code PODCAST1 for your sign-up bonus. Bet online, your online sportsbook experts.
Welcome back to the Rich Eisen Show. We've got a lot to talk about right here on the NBC Sports on Peacock stream. Michael Irvin will be joining us shortly here on the show in just about a minute's time. You surprised that Gronk's a non-factor through the first 2 weeks in this offense, Chris, in Tampa?
I don't know. I don't think so.
I don't know if he doesn't look the same.
Well, it looks like a guy who's taken a year off and hasn't really cared about football in a while.
Brady hit him in the hands at one point yesterday. Hit him right in the hands, and he dropped it.
I think Gronk is going to look back and wish he hadn't returned.
I don't know about that. That might be an overreaction on Monday.
No, I think I'm with Brockman on this. I think Gronk's going to be like, I should have just stayed.
I don't know. I think he's going to get his sea legs.
Maybe it takes him a while to get back into it. Yeah,
I mean, think so. And Godwin and Evans and Fournette. Look, Fournette, I think, is going to be a crucial part of this offense.
It looks like he's going to have it.
Right. It's going to take time. Yeah. It took week two to sort of flash like that.
Right.
Godwin and Evans haven't played a full game fully healthy together.
But I think you would have thought
that should happen week three.
But with Godwin out, maybe you would have thought, oh, let's get Gronk a little bit more involved. And, you know, he's only
seen. But I think it's just going to take time.
Four targets in two games.
I think it will just take time. And that at some point, week eight, week nine, look out. At least that's what I'm hoping for my Super Bowl selection. We're back here on NBCSN. Chris Brockman, we have not asked the poll question yet. It's available at Rich Eisen Show and might be great to start right here with our next guest getting ready to join us here. What do you have over
yeah,
there,
Chris? It's been up for the full hour. It's on at Rich Eisen Show on Twitter. Vote right now. Who's in the most trouble through 2 weeks so far in the National Football League? Eagles, Falcons, Texans, all winless, and the 1-1 49ers.
And the way that the ball bounces, or if you will, spins on occasion, could have maybe taken Atlanta out and putting Dallas in if the ball had not spun the way that it did. And just the difference between winning and losing is that. The difference between saying having this be the drop.
I was tired. I was sleepy. But not anymore. Hey, y'all. How about them Cowboys?
Or the other version of that.
How about them Cowboys? Yeah!
Literally, it's just a bit difference between the spin of the ball. But thankfully for my next guest, my buddy, my Pro Football Hall of Famer, my NFL Game Day Morning compadre, it's the other version. Michael Irvin here on the Rich Eisen Show. How are you, Michael?
Rich, I am stupendous. Stupendous. I mean, I'm better than splendid. I'm better than super. I am stupendous. I'm coming up with words. I'm so
stupendous.
Happy today. What
I'd like that.
About, Rich?
We should trademark that.
Yesterday, all together though, Rich. This must have been a great show for you guys today.
Yes.
Because you had the Anthony Davis shot.
Yep.
You know, last second, the Cam Newton tackle, last second. I mean, the overtime Kansas City Chiefs game, last second, and of course, the granddaddy of them all.
Oh, wow.
Which is America's team coming back 20 down at the top of the game. It was insane. What a great day.
Well,
what a great day.
I mean, so much so that, you know, we've hardly touched upon Anthony Davis's last second shot, which we will. That's why we got another hour and a half of runway here. And we did, you know, slightly touch upon Justin Herbert getting that emergency start and almost beating the Chiefs, who needed overtime and three swings at the leg from 50 yards out from their place kicker to win. But I guess let's settle in on Dallas. Why? I mean, I guess, you know, there's no pictures in the standings, but there's no concern out of you. It's all stupendous when it comes to the Dallas Cowboys, Michael?
No. There are concerns. I'll start worried about the concerns on Wednesday when we start working on the next on Wednesday when we start working on next week. But right now, given the alternative, where it was. I watched that whole game, Rich. I stood up in front of the TV. I couldn't even sit down. I tweeted earlier, what is this mess up on my TV? You see what I mean? I didn't know what that was going on. I was like, oh, my God, a game of this magnitude and this, how they come, not even prepared, where a guy's punching the ball out. And you saw him do it to one dude. Now, you should be making love to this football when you get it. Don't you ever let her leave your arms. You saw him, and you're going to let him punch the ball right back out of your arm? Oh, it was insane, man. It was insane. But I say this, Rich. The way that game went down may be the difference of all. Even if the Cowboys went in and put up 40 points and hadn't made all those turnovers, and say, since they gave them 20, it would have been 40-29 or 40-19, you know, instead of 40-39 because the Cowboys gave them 20 points up top, even though that offense was moving up and down on the field on defense. They go and beat them 40-29. It's not the same thing as beating them 40-39 after you spotted them 20 points. A game like this can perpetuate you in the greater things for the rest of the season.
I mean, Dak, 34-47, 450 yards. I mean, three touchdowns. That is a significant stat line. Three runs as well. I mean, like that is, it's he accounted for four touchdowns, Michael. So
right.
Is this it? I mean, is this the moment that we are going to start talking about Dak like Lamar and Kyler and
Rich,
Patrick Mahomes?
On the show yesterday, we talked about that. What do we need? What does Dallas need to do? I said, I'm putting it all on Dak. It's all on Dak. I knew Atlanta's offense was going up and down the field. I had to put the pressure on Dak. Came back and said, I'm going to have six receivers go over 100 because those three guys they had played great, and he did play great again. Can't believe Julio missed that touch, dropped that touchdown.
I know.
But I know what I guarantee I know what was happening with that.
What was happening with that one? I'm sure Falcons fans want to know.
A couple of things. See, you're not getting the ball. That ball wasn't thrown from his quarterback. And the ball thrown, balls have different spins on them, man. Because you'll watch it, and when he looked up, he was fading away. He started fading away. Why is he fading away? And this is what guys do. When you look up sometimes and that ball get lost in the stadium or get lost in the lights, you're kind of fading because you don't know which way it goes, and you're waiting on it to show again, and then you reach your hands out and grab it. I say he must have lost that ball. That's the only reason he was fading away. He was fading away to give himself many more areas to catch because the ball's on the other side. I can see that and run to it as opposed to spin around and have to catch it on the other side. So you start fading when you lose it in the light, and then when it drops out the light, you try to grab it and snatch it. But whatever happened, I don't wish on a man dropping balls, but that it happened, I was quite pleased. I love Julio, but I was quite pleased.
Of course.
That would have put a nail in the coffin.
What do you think is going on in the Atlanta locker room today? What's happening today?
Oh my God, yeah. Oh my God, but that it's total shock. Because you already felt the pain when you lost that Super Bowl, and you said to yourself, each man when you went back in that locker room and looked at each other, looked in each other's eyes, you said, "This will never happen again. I guarantee you, it'll never happen again. It just happened again." You know, granted, it's not a Super Bowl,
of course,
but it just happened again, and I guarantee you they're sitting in LA. Oh my God. And here's another one of those games. That's one of those games that when you go home, when you get back home and they get back to Atlanta, there's no one falling asleep. The only way you get rest is by pass out. There's no voluntary falling asleep. This must be the pass out. Because your mind is not going to let you stop thinking about what you just did and how you just let that game get away and, oh my God, we're 0-2 in the seed. Your mind won't let you stop. So the only way to sleep is to pass out. That means, pass me a vodka cranberry, and when you see this one, get halfway, pass me another one. pass it. Until the pass out. Let me get some rest that way because that's the only way you calm your mind.
Michael Irvin here on the Rich Eisen Show. And I imagine, I've never really asked you this question. I don't know what would have come up, but I imagine you've spent some time on a hands team in your career. And what in the hell was Atlanta thinking of watching that ball spin for as long as they watched it spin? Did they think it wasn't going to go the 10 yards so they could just, like a bunt that they thought was going to go foul and it stayed fair? I mean, don't they know
exactly
that you could jump on that ball at any point in time? You don't have to wait for it to travel 10 yards? I mean, what was that about? I mean, seriously.
You saw 81, all of them like, back up. Don't touch it. Back up.
Like, what? Why? Like, go grab
when
it.
When they were doing that, I promise you, and I love them. You know I love them. I love him, but I surely said, oh, my God, this is a Leon Lett moment. Oh, my God. Like, they don't know the rules. They're saying, but instead of, I don't care if you kick that ball out of bounds. I don't care what you do. You just get, why are you getting away from it? You have from 0 to 9.9 yards because they're going to jump on it. You got all that time. And the ball was going slow. It wasn't like it was a wiggle, like a bounce.
Right.
So you're afraid to jump on a bounce because you don't know if you're going to grab it or if it's going to bounce out of your hands. When a ball's spinning on the ground like that, you curl around it. You could have done that at 5 yards.
Right.
You could have done it at 6 yards. Could have done it at 8 yards. But they were backing everybody up, and that thing just kept on spinning. And then it hit the little turn. And, oh, my God, I just said, hey, man, Rich, I almost blew out my home office because and all these cameras in here.
Yep.
I was falling, tripping all over the cameras because I was going crazy. It was insane, man. That was a great, great comeback. I'm telling you that I believe will propel the Cowboys this whole season.
Michael Irvin, a few more minutes left with him here on the Rich Eisen Show. Another item that we discussed at length during NFL Game Day morning, the 4-hour pregame on NFL Network on Sunday, was you saying Cam's going to have to throw it. He's going to have to throw it at some point. And we were, and you know, everyone agreed, but it was infused with some doubt, wondering how Cam will look in this offense will look throwing.
Yes, it was, buddy.
Oh, my God. Did he throw it on Sunday night? He's back, correct? Like, this is Super Cam is shown up in New England. We don't need to wonder, correct? That's official.
Yeah. The best Cam is shown up. That's the guy that showed up in New England. And I love what I heard yesterday. You know, I heard where they were asking Cam about it. He said what drew him there, and this is brilliant because it's real. What drew him there was not the idea of replacing Tom Brady, but the idea of playing with Bill Belichick, of playing for Bill Belichick. Like, I just got to go get that guy. Let me go get that guy. That guy right there, he has the Midas touch. He can fix everything, fix anything. I just got to get to that guy. And that guy will bring the best out. And on his Instagrams, it was all, oh, y'all don't believe, you don't believe, you don't believe. And then he comes to New England, and they make him a captain. So you knew. They believe in me in New England. In New England, and I'm going to show them how much I appreciate it by throwing my body around everywhere. Now, how long that will last, I don't know. But, yeah, the real Cam, he's back, man. And they look good. That was a great game last night.
Amazing.
That was a great game.
That was great. And
N'Keal Harry showed up. I mean, okay. I knew. I talked about that. I said, you know, Cam's going to go outside. And N'Keal Harry, even if he couldn't get open on the first turn, he's going to have 2-3 more turns as Cam moves around and can get him the ball. And, I mean, he showed up. I mean, Julian Edelman, we're used to what he does. But for N'Keal Harry to show up like that, that was big.
DK Metcalf, though, too. I know you love big physical receivers. I mean, with the defensive player of the year, reigning defensive player of the year, basically traveling with him the entire night. There was quite a battle. I think you even might have tweeted about it with him and Gilmore on the sideline.
You better believe I did, because you saw
that.
He was not. That boy wasn't having it, Rich. He wasn't having it. Let's tell the truth to shame the devil. He was not having and Gilmore was trying to intimidate him. He was trying to bully him. I'm going to bully this young guy. I got him. You know, he's a big guy, but probably soft. But DK wasn't soft at all. I saw it in Gilmore's eyes, like, this is a big joker. I've seen that look in DB's eyes before.
Right. I know, man. And he was just one of five guys who caught touchdown passes from Russell Wilson, who's really making it work. So the next team that's got Russell Wilson in front of them next week has their hands full. Oh, wait a minute.
Oh, boy.
It's your Cowboys. Ah.
Yeah. That's why
I know you want to wait till Wednesday. Now I know you're like, I'll wait till Wednesday to try and figure out what the problems are. I'm putting two together.
We'll move on that Wednesday because that's going to be a booger bear going in there. But this game is what I'm talking about. Right. Can't propel you when you do this. You can carry this, the aroma of coming back stays in your nostrils all year long. So when you go to Seattle and you're down, hey, we've been here before. Let's go. We've been it for. All we got to do is believe. We can get this. That little belief, you hear, that little belief will dictate that effort. I always talk about hope, the hope dictating effort. That little belief will give more effort from them and it'll give them a chance. And remember now,
yes.
The 12 aren't there.
Oh, yes. No, I know. And so we're talking about let Russ cook, but you've got the aroma of comeback in your nostrils from week two.
Yes.
And it lingers. The aroma of like one of those smells in your kitchen that you open up the windows, you don't want to get rid of that aroma. You just let that marinate in the nostril and the nose gate. You let that marinate in your nose gate and let it travel to your heart gate. Right, Michael?
In a sensual sense, where what I mean by that, not being sexual in any way, but I'm saying it will turn on the sense of the comeback. So it puts your senses back. Oh, we can come back from this. So that aroma stays with you,
yes.
And they will need it. They will need that.
The pheromone of comeback is on the Dallas Cowboys. I love it.
How do you think that thing happened when we call people the cardiac kids? Or listen, Denver's going through it right now. You don't think Denver's in the locker room saying, "We've been here before. We've been here before."
Oh, the Nuggets.
Telling all the Lakers fans,
yes.
What they saying? We've been here before because the aroma is still it's in them.
True.
They know that. That's what they're going to try to use to pull back on the Lakers. It's there. That's what I'm telling you.
I like it. So it's not just football. It's any sport. It goes to any sport, the aroma. Oh, this is fantastic.
Those kind of comebacks.
Yes.
You do two series back-to-back, you come back from 3-1 with nobody. That kind of comeback?
Right.
That's what I'm talking about. That stays with you for a while.
All right. Before I let you go, ask the poll question of Michael Irvin, Chris Brockman. Go for it.
All right, Irv, who is in the most trouble after 2 weeks? Eagles, Falcons, Texans, 49ers.
Choose one. That's right.
Boy, Eagles, Falcons, Texans, 49ers. 49ers getting Kittle back now, even though they lost so much on defense. That's going to hurt. But they'll be in a battle. Texans, man, I'm worried about the Eagles.
Mm-hmm.
I'm worried about the Cowboys' offensive line. I'm worried about the Eagles also. But I would probably lean towards, man, that's a tough one, dog. That's a tough one.
We asked him. That's what we asked.
I want to say Houston just because they're seeing what DeAndre Hopkins is doing.
Right.
And they ain't winning nothing over there. You know what I'm saying? But if boy, it's going to be hard for the San Fran to get back in it now that they've lost Nick Bosa. And I just said yesterday that I thought they would be fine. But you lose Nick and Solomon Thomas, and we don't know what's going on with the quarterback yet. And with the way they look in the West, everybody,
mm-hmm.
then that's going to be tough. That's some trouble. Right?
Michael has settled on the 49ers, the only non-0-2 team in this choice. What are the results as they currently stand, Chris?
Eagles lead the way right now, guys, 41%. 49ers, 27%.
Yeah, I mean, Wentz did not look good yesterday again, Michael.
He did not. But the only thing there is, if he doesn't look good again next week, do we see Jalen Hurts? You see what I'm saying? And then and then that poll would be right, because now we got a collapse over there in the structure of what's going on. Because if Jalen Hurts come in and plays well, then that would be certainly an issue.
Well, I got to tell you, man, they're welcoming Joey Burrow in, okay? So a second straight first overall selection, but the one that they just lost to is the one who's connected to Wentz because the Rams chose him over Wentz in the same draft. But here comes Cincinnati, and then they're at San Francisco for a Sunday nighter. And, you know, I know they just paid Wentz, and it's very difficult to sit here and say that he's done. That might be a very significant overreaction. But what we're seeing from the run-pass threat quarterbacks that Cam is now, you know, back at the very top, you have to say, Jalen Hurts has to be a consideration. You got to. For a kid who also has that gumption, that it fact. He's got the aroma. You know what I mean? He's
right.
Got that.
Right. He has some on him. He has some with him. And that's what I'm talking about. And Rich,
right.
You know those Philly fans. If that guy comes in and they win two games in a row, anything like that,
See ya. Exactly.
Oh, my God.
And that's why I might choose Philadelphia, too, because they do have San Francisco after Cincinnati at Pittsburgh, home for Baltimore. And certainly with the Cowboys playing the way that they're suddenly playing after having that one thing happen very good for them yesterday, look out. Got to keep pace. Right,
yeah.
Mark?
Yeah, there's a lot that can go on there that can farther the issue. You know, and losing is going to amplify all of it. All of it.
Oh, yeah. By the way, last thing for you. Deion's the head coach at Jackson State. It's official. What do you think?
Now it's official.
It is.
And I'm so happy for him. I already announced it on his podcast. I was going to tweet out congratulations to him. Because I know, listen, man, I've been around Deion a long time, man. You know how important it is, how important those kids are to him. So to get an opportunity to get his foot in the door, and be a head coach at the college level. And I'm sure he's got aspirations to move up. But yeah, that's a great start for him. And I think he'll do well. Because I think he'll do well in recruiting, you know.
Oh, no
These
doubt.
These kids want to say, I play for Deion Sanders.
Damn straight.
They want to say that.
No question about it. And you know all the defensive backs there will know how to armbar somebody in a very crucial championship game. Right, Michael?
Yes, they will. Yes, they will know how to cheat, you know how to get away with it. It's not just that you cheat, you have to get away with it.
Yes.
That's what Deion Sanders and Jalen Ramsey type people do. They're all from Florida State. They're from Florida State.
Love you, Michael Irvin. Great spot as always.
All right, buddy.
We'll see you soon.
All right, good talk.
Right back at you. It's Michael Irvin. Oh, my gosh. How many fantasy team names did we get out of that? Aroma of
quite
comeback,
a few,
right?
The one I wrote down was the aroma of coming back.
The aroma of...
My team is 0-2 in my poker league after Saquon Barkley, second overall pick, amassed a grand total in 2 weeks for my entire team, as he will for all year long.
Yep.
8 points, because we're not even in a PPR league.
Yep.
I'm renaming my team the aroma of the comeback.
The aroma.
Done. I need you to do that fast.
Well, make sure you get on Deion Lewis.
I don't even know. It could be Wayne Gallman. Or the rumor is Devontae Freeman sitting at home.
Yeah, maybe.
844-204-RICH. We'll empty the phone banks. Mike Tirico still to come. News update. And this day in history is really special for all of us from the New York City metropolitan area. That's coming up here on this edition of the Rich Eisen Show. Do you own or rent your home? Sure you do. And I bet it can be hard work. You know what's easy? Bundling policies with Geico. Geico makes it easy to bundle your homeowner's or renter's insurance along with your auto policy. It's a good thing, too, because you already have so much to do around your home. Go to geico.com, get a quote, and see how much you could save. It's Geico easy. Visit geico.com today. That's geico.com, GEICO.com. Okay, 844-204-RICH is the number to dial here on the show. I had to go get something to wipe off my glasses because, you know, when I take them on and off a lot,
smudges.
It smudges up. I don't know, you know, how that one works. Oh, God, every kid in my house lost his fantasy matchup as well.
Uh-oh.
We went 0-4 in the house this
Yikes.
Week.
Yikes.
Oh.
Yeah. Coop says to me, he goes, I'm going to be the worst team in the league. He's 0-2 now. And he goes, "How?" I don't think he said, how should I feel? I think he said something along the lines of, how should I feel about myself? Like he went there at age 9.
I think you just explained to him that fantasy is like 95% luck.
Well, I said to him, I'm like, tomorrow you'll still wake up and you're still the same beautiful boy, the same beautiful brain and everything like that. But it sucks.
Yeah.
Look at your dad. Every day we're on Peacock, peacocktv.com. Download the app. It's amazing. It gets better. Oh, by the way, congrats to all the Peacock and NBC Universal executives. By the way, is that a great way for me to kiss up in a way?
I think so.
Yeah. No, but seriously, we're striking the Roku deal.
Yeah.
But boom. So that's good. That's good. My mom's got Roku, so this is
oh, yeah.
big
we
in the Evelyn Eisen household.
Yeah.
I might be breaking news to her right now. Mom, we're coming to Roku.
Big move.
Okay, so other words I never thought I would say to my mother. And mean it. Mean it. Mike Tirico's going to join us because we didn't discuss this. Bryson DeChambeau, bomb and gouge, just won the U.S. Open. Because basic bomb and gouge, that's what they're talking about. Is it just doesn't normally the U.S. Open, it's like if you find your way in the rough, you're finished. You're screwed. It's over. And DeChambeau's like, you know, and Matthew Wolff, top two guys. Like, screw it. Wow. We'll just hit it as far as we possibly can. And then hit it as it doesn't matter if, I guess, if you're, you know, ankle deep and rough, if you're strong enough to get it out of there with just a wedge. That's it. I mean, like you're not hitting 7-iron or 8-iron or out of a wedge. You're hitting a lofted club because you're so damn close. Yeah. Just go for it and then make your putts, win the U.S. Open.
Yeah, the idea of the U.S. Open is accuracy, and then you have to hit your long irons really well. And if you hit it 380 off the tee, all you have to do is drive, chip, and putt.
The days of Corey Pavin hitting his persimmon. You know,
225. Right. Yeah, exactly. Those games are over. And if DeChambeau destroys Augusta, it's going to be really something. We're going to have a revolution.
We're
going
to have to what? They'll have to Brysonize the course.
Yeah, but they can't at Augusta because
there's no more room left.
There's no more room. They can't move the trees back any further.
Nope.
So what do you do? Like, if this guy obliterates the field in 6 weeks at Augusta, we got a revolution. Everyone's just going to be
bulk up,
hulked up, and hitting 400 off the tee. He thinks he can average 380 off the tee. It's crazy. He wants to add 15 pounds in the next 2 weeks, he said last night.
Question. Do they test in golf?
I believe so. I don't know that for a fact.
You mean the clubs, right?
Yeah, just for
the golf balls.
Just make sure that
Mike Tirico is joining us at the top of the next hour. Let's take some phone calls. Ben in Mississippi has been hanging on for almost 2 hours. What's up, Ben?
Rich, usually these are the times where I would ask for a hug, but considering the circumstances, that's not in the best interest, and I don't want one. Blow it up. Get rid of it. Destroy it. The season's over. We're 0-2. Saquon's out for the year. This team realistically has a chance of going 0-8. I don't think this team will win 3 games this year. It's over, Rich. The season is already over, and we just got started.
Let me tell you, Ben. Now, hold on a second, Ben. Hold on a minute. I know you're upset that about your Giants losing Barkley, Saquon, but you still have a new head coach there who comes from the Belichick tree, who is going to have his hands full, and you're going to start to see what this guy's about. Your team damn near won the game yesterday. And you got what appears to be big Nick Mullins coming into your house next week. And you still have Danny Dimes. And you still have, you know, Evan Ingram. And you still have some wide receivers like Golden Tate. And hopefully Shepard's not terribly hurt. Okay, and Slayton. And you got Deion Lewis. And you got also maybe Devontae Freeman coming. Okay, and defensively, you know, you got to start gelling together under Joe Judge. Your season is not lost. On the other hand, the co-tenants of MetLife Stadium, that season's finished. Okay? And thank you for the call, Ben. That season is completely done. Because the Giants, yesterday, lost their guy and almost won the game in Chicago anyway. Without Shepard, too. And I think Joe Judge wants to show everybody we're not giving up, so on and so forth. The same way Brian Flores did for Miami last year when everybody thought they were tanking. Now, the Jets are a different story. To go in yesterday and start the game with San Francisco coming into their house after that abomination in Western New York, to go in and let Raheem Mostert score a touchdown that would have been good in flag football. Okay. With your back end of your defense taking such a horrible angle that Jamal Adams had to be laughing all the way from Seattle, and you could hear it in the fanless MetLife Stadium. For that to happen, and then for them to fall so damn far behind, as the Niners were the ones suffering so many injuries that the Niners put their B team on the field in the second half, and you needed a garbage touchdown just to earn a draw. That team, without Garoppolo, Bosa, Mostert, and Thomas, that team fought hard. And the Jets are up. You know what? But the name of the show that just swept all the comedy awards in the Emmys last night, which will allow me to say these words. Mm-hmm. What's the name of that television? It's a great comedy.
Yeah, Schitt's Creek.
I love that. I love that. Because it's about a family named Schitt, right?
S-C-H-I-T-T.
Okay, again, so I just wanted to say that because I wanted to talk about the Emmy Awards and the comedy show that swept the comedy awards last night.
Big night at the Emmys.
For some reason, that's the similar estuary and river or flowing a body of water that the Jets find themselves circling.
They're anchored there, Rich.
No paddles.
They're anchored.
Brandon in Las Vegas, Nevada. What's up, Brandon? You want to talk about the Emmy Awards too, Brandon?
Yeah, Rich, let's do it.
Okay.
So I'm just, you know, really excited, born and raised in Las Vegas. Diehard Jets fan. We got the Raiders' first game tonight. Brand new stadium.
I thought that's what you wanted to talk about. Okay. Yeah, all right. Yeah, it's a big game tonight for the Raiders.
But I'll switch it up. So Jets fan, right? Like, what do we do, Rich? What do we do?
Tank. That's what you do. You tank.
Okay.
And by the way, if that's what you do, or just keep doing what you're doing because it's nothing, and you keep losing, and you just need to keep going and lose and burn it down and start from scratch. And maybe Sam Darnold should go on to another team just because you have to let something you love and covet free sometimes. That's it.
You know, it's so hard to evaluate a quarterback when you don't put players around him and you have terrible coaching.
You're not wrong. You're not wrong.
I don't understand. Like, I want Sam to – I just want him to be good. I know it's there. I just feel so bad for him.
Me too. He deserves better. Thank you for the call. We all do. You in Vegas, me sitting here, and all my buddies back in Staten Island, my brother who works so hard at his job, constantly working 12 hours every day.
Season is not over.
He sits around and he's can't bother him during Jets games. Don't call him during Jets games, my brother. And I keep telling him, wake up, Jeff.
You talking playoffs or what?
No, we're not. We're not.
I think Brandon should just abandon the Jets and root for the Raiders.
No, don't abandon the Jets. Do not. I'm not going to do that. The only reason why I abandoned the Knicks is because the owner dragged one of the most beloved players out of Madison Square Garden in front of the entire world and let him rot in jail overnight after making sure the team stinks because he can't get out of the way. That's why I abandoned the Knicks. I'm not abandoning the Jets. As a matter of fact, the GM traded away their best defender, who is showing what happens when he's put in a spot where he's told, you be you. Not, you be what we think you should be, or I'm Mr. Greg with 3 G's, Williams, and kill the head and all that stuff. Let me come in, and you, Jamal, I don't even know what Jamal was doing in the locker room. I don't care. You send him to Seattle, you're seeing him. He's flying all over the place, and Pete Carroll's chomping gum and high-fiving. And he goes on his Zoom post-game press conference last night, Jamal Adams saying he's so excited because he's never beaten the Patriots before. He could have taken a knife and jammed it right in here and just taken it right out. Let me bleed. I'm not giving up on him. But what I am seeing is something that you've got a GM who's got all these picks amassed. Get more. I'm sorry, Sam Darnold. But if the Jets get first overall, there's a kid in Clemson who's coming to town. And then you go and send Sam somewhere else where he's going to be in a spot where he's loved, just like Jamal Adams. Let him be free, too.
Squad goals.
And go ahead. That's what the Jets should do. That was awful. Worst. I mean, honestly, it's like Coslett and Kotite wrapped up into one.
Not great.
Yeah. Not great. Hour three, Mike Tirico.
Welcome to the MIP.
Yeah.
The Michael Irvin Podcast.
You knew this was coming.
Guess who? Let me start this thing off.
Join me every week for the Michael Irvin Podcast. We'll give you the full MIP experience. I'm talking everything from football to fashion. I will be chopping it up with playmakers, headline makers, and I am throwing haymakers. I'm the MVP of the MIP. Don't miss it.
Download new episodes of the MIP, the Michael Irvin Podcast, every Thursday on Apple Podcasts, Podcast One, and Spotify.